Pick the Nintendo Shack and pray. Frederick from Fire Emblem Awakening says, yo.
Greetings, Kooplings, and welcome back to the Nintendo Shack. Nintendo Shack 195, titled The Switch Pro equals the Switch OLED model? Who knows? We're going to bypass the formalities this week as we have, and I scroll, a lot of listener questions, like an entire page of questions. Guys, thank you so much. You really showed up today. Thank everyone that supports us over at Patreon. We've said all your names 1,000 times. We're going to skip it today as we have a special guest, Chris Johnson, CJ from the Player One podcast, joining us in the Nintendo Shack. Welcome. I've been on your show on Second Player. A lot of our folks, I hope, have listened to Player One. I know I have. I've listened to it for many, many years. You guys have been a stalwart, a pillar in the video game podcasting community for many years. But for those that may not know you or follow you, can you give us just a little background?
Cool. Well, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I used to work at a video game magazine called Electronic Gaming Monthly. So you may remember me from there, back when we used to get all our video game news every month from magazines, little printed booklets. Whoa. You flipped through instead of the internet where you scroll through. And then I started a podcast with some of my co-workers once we had left gaming journalism, and that happened in 2006. We did the Player One podcast. We still do the Player One podcast every single week. We've been going now 765 episodes.
That is
in just about 15 years.
Absolutely insane. As we approach episode 200, it feels like forever, and it is just pales in comparison. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if congratulate you? Do I send you like a beer? Like, do we get therapy lessons? I don't know where we go from there.
Rewards, something.
Therapy, I think, is good. Yeah, therapy, maybe. But it's great to be on Nintendo Shack. Thank you very much for inviting me, Donnie.
Oh, absolutely. We're glad to have you. I think you'll bring a lot to tonight's show, which, as we talked about at the top, is about this new Nintendo Switch. So, guys, 2 weeks ago, we were wrapping up E3. Obviously, there was no Switch Pro after the fever pitch of the rumor mill that there was. And we all took we took bets, right? We were like, we won't hear about it till the fall. We won't hear about it till next year. I said we're going to hear about it soon. I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. Just saying that if they were making something, I thought we were going to hear about it soon. Well, we heard about it soon.
Well, there you go.
Right? Yeah. It's not the Switch Pro that we talked about, though. They didn't say that.
It is not. Or is it? Maybe it is.
Maybe.
It's not. It's definitely not. All right. I'm going to run this down. Here's what it was announced today. In a trailer that Nintendo put up, I'm telling you, 3 minutes after I woke up. I woke up. I looked at my phone. Yeah. I refreshed and I saw it. Like, it hit that minute. I got so excited that I retweeted it before I even watched it. So I was like, I was sure that I knew what it was, right? I was like, ah! And then I watched it and I was like, oh. Okay. The new Nintendo Switch, dubbed the Switch OLED model.
That is its name. Nobody gets that. All the names that we came up with, I guarantee you there is not a single person on the planet that guessed that.
Well, that already sets the expectation. OLED model.
It really does. Like, it arrives October 8th.
I thought it was going to be Nintendo Switch New in parentheses.
New OLED. So that'll be the next one.
That would have been really nice.
So we'll have a whole new line. We'll have the new Nintendo Switch, the new Nintendo Switch Lite, the new Nintendo Switch OLED. There'll be a whole other effect.
I'm down. I'll get all three.
October 8th for $349. It does feature the long-rumored 7-inch OLED screen. Quote, a larger, vibrant 7-inch OLED screen with vivid colors and crisp contrast. Because the screen is 7 inches, there is a smaller bezel. It has 64 gigabytes of internal storage. Quote, wide, adjustable stand. Enhanced audio, which was never like detailed. Just enhanced audio. We don't know. Is it louder speakers? Is it better speakers? Or what does that mean? Headphones? Just enhanced audio.
I have no idea.
A new dock with rounded edges and a built-in Ethernet port, though we do lose that extra USB port.
Yeah.
The newest system is 0.1 inch longer and slightly heavier than the original model. Compatible with your old Joy-Cons and dock and vice versa. Comes in two colors, a white set and a neon set. What's not confirmed? What's not in it? Confirmed, the Nintendo Switch OLED model does not have any additions or changes to CPU or RAM from your previous Nintendo models. No DLSS, no 4K, no Bluetooth, and confirmed, no Joy-Con changes at all. It is the exact same Joy-Cons that we have had forever. Max output, 1080p 60. We saw a bunch of games in the trailer. They did tie it with Metroid Dread right at the start. You saw a little Breath of the Wild 2, some Splatoon 3, Ring Fit, Clubhouse Games, Splatoon.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, what'd you think?
This is it.
It's pretty underwhelming, isn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't have the highest expectations because I didn't even want a new model to begin with, and this somehow still was very underwhelming.
Yeah, and that I think that echoes generally what most of the internet thinks. Most of the internet is pretty underwhelmed. What about you, CJ?
But do you have the battery life upgrade model?
Did you guys upgrade to that with the Animal Crossing?
I don't. I do not.
I don't either.
Yeah.
And to me, like, oh, the extra battery life, great. The bigger OLED screen, fantastic. That's what I've always wanted in an upgraded Switch. And the lack of Bluetooth and some of the other things are disappointing, but in terms of like a redesigned Switch,
see, I'm pretty excited about this. See, the one thing that I really wanted, and so I had two things that I really wanted, the bigger screen with no bezel, which it has, obviously, the OLED screen, and the faster like load times and whatnot, like actual better hardware to make faster load times and preferably better battery life than my upgraded one, but it doesn't have that.
Yeah. So I think a great way, a lot of our thoughts are going to come out as we answer these questions. So let's just kick it off. First question comes from Zoe. Are you going to buy one and why? I am going to buy one. This shouldn't come as a shocker. I've been saying this on Twitter for most of the day. I bought the battery model. This is my third light. I've bought models just to paint. I bought the Xbox One S, the One X, the Series X, the Series S. I bought the PS4 Pro, the PS4 Slim. I bought the 3DS XL, the new 3DS XL, the new 2DS XL. I like buying hardware. I like seeing what the new stuff is. It's a big part of why I enjoy this technology stuff. I like buying up stuff. I just bought soundbar and stuff. You know, like you guys have seen me. You guys know all the stuff that I get. I like doing it. That said, this is easy for me because as those who have listened to the show for a very long time, you know that I've been saving my rewards points on my credit card for this. So I'm essentially getting this for free. I'm not really paying this out of pocket. This is just kind of money that's stashed. So if I had to say if I was coming out of pocket, I probably wouldn't be pre-ordering one. I'd probably wait to see. I am excited for the OLED screen. I do believe there's a Nintendo Shack somewhere when we first heard about the OLED screen where me and Garrett told Rebecca that if it was just an OLED screen, we would upgrade. Because I do believe that the OLED screen will be a drastic improvement. Go ahead.
If you play, I don't know why this didn't occur to me sooner, but if you only play in docked mode, there is no reason to upgrade.
I think that's pretty fair.
That's true.
Yeah.
No upgrade.
This is for
handheld
players or tabletop players.
It is a premium handheld experience. It does very little on the dock front. And there's something else we've talked about in the Discord today is I haven't really played docked Switch at all. In a very long time. And only, I think the last game that I can really remember doing it was Calamity. And it wasn't even like, I don't think I played half the game that way. It was just because it was a new game and I wanted to try it out. So many of the Switch's games in the current setup, like without this revision that we were hoping for, they just run better portably. Like when you run at lower settings, the gameplay experience is better. So that's typically what I do. Also, I did notice this week. This is what I would have said had we not been covering this topic this week. I tried to play Breath of the Wild on my screen the other day when I came home from work. Mm-hmm. And on my new television, where I haven't played docked like yet, because I haven't had a dock, Switch looks pretty awful. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like the vivid vibrancy of my new, you know, TV just makes it look really edgy, and not great, like really saturated. So, Yeah, I think there are reasons to be excited for this. I don't think you have to, you know, go to fight folks, console warriors, to say it's like some great thing. I don't think that's there. But that said, I don't think if you're excited to buy this, I don't think you shouldn't be excited. You shouldn't let folks get to you. I think there's a lot to like here, even if it's not what we were hoping it was.
Definitely for like the handheld players. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead, Garrett.
Okay. Well, no, it's definitely for the handheld players for sure. Like for me, I went on a trip last week and I played nothing but handheld. And I look at my screen and it's like, it's kind of faded now. My battery's getting kind of low, like an hour into my airplane flight. This seems kind of enticing to me if I'm getting an upgraded battery already from my OG Switch. And also getting a nice OLED screen that I already see on my Vita. So like just because of those features, an extra $50 compared to what the Switch model is now, I think it's justified. I can understand people why they don't want to buy this at $350 if they just play docked, and like if they just play like one game or a couple games on docked, like totally don't get this model then. You already have your Switch, wait for the next one or something like that when we do get that upgraded power.
Plus you'll probably be able to sell your OG Switch if you wanted to for a fairly good price.
Yep.
So I think, though, that if this announcement had come last year and the OLED Switch came out last year, it would have been a little bit better because, you know, with Age of Calamity and with Mario Golf, we're seeing some more games that have performance issues. So that's more obvious to us now. So we're all kind of waiting for that upgraded tech spec Switch, which who knows if that's going to come in 2022 or not. But if this had come out last year, I think it would have been better received.
What do you think, Rebecca?
I think if I didn't have a Switch, I would not mind paying the $50 extra to get these upgraded, you know, features. But to me, like somebody who has an OG model, somebody who has the revision model already, I like the wider screen. Like, to me, the only thing that really is enticing here is the 7-inch screen. The lack of bezels is, you know, more vibrant, more crisp. Because I do play a lot of handheld mode. I'm never going to use the adjustable stand. I never play in tabletop. I probably never will. Yeah. Enhanced audio, again, we don't know. I don't really feel like I have any issues with the audio on my Switch in handheld anyway. I'm never going to use the LAN, like the Ethernet. Mm-hmm. There's nothing here that makes me want to spend $350 to upgrade. If I didn't have one at all, sure, an extra $50 to get the better version, fine.
I think you answered, do you think it's worth the extra $50? If you play mostly portable, I think it does. I think it is. Mm-hmm. I really think once we see like high res photos of games side by side on the old model versus the new model, if it is a nice OLED screen, like we hope it is, if it's Vita like, then I think the proof will be in the pudding. I think you'll see it. Now, if it's not, like if it still has that sheen over it and it looks the same, then I may cancel my pre-order. Like I may not get it, but I don't expect it to be that way. Like when you see an OLED, you're going to get those deeper blacks, those really vibrant, like bright colors. It really looks really nice. And I think
it'll look nice.
I've been talking about this on Shaq. I was talking to somebody about this on Twitter today. I've been talking about this on Shaq. I tagged you, Garrett, for what, 2, 3, 4 years? I think since the day it came out, I was like, it just looks like it has this white filter over. It's just that LCD.
It does.
White sheen. I've never liked that ever. Hopefully this OLED gets away from that, right? And it looks like it's supposed to look. It looks like when they show you direct feed footage in the trailer. That's what it should look like. Nice and vibrant and bright. I think a huge miss is that they never mentioned HDR. That would have made an OLED pop, you know, quite a bit more than it currently does. I think that was a huge miss. The $50, though,
that doesn't really seem like a Nintendo thing to mention HDR, though.
I know.
When does Nintendo?
I guess that's
go off about graphic modes
for me
because there's nothing else to brag about with this model.
For me, I think I remember when the other consoles last gen added it, and they just added it to consoles that already existed. So it's seemingly like, you know, not that hard to implement. I don't know. I don't know the tech side of it. I don't know what kind of hardware you have to have inside of it. But you remember they just added it to the PS4? like just one day, like 2 years after it came out, they're like, and here's the new update. It has HDR. I'm like, oh wow, that's cool. And it did make a big difference. And I was kind of hoping that maybe something like that would have given something for folks that are docked, you know, to look at.
True. Yeah.
It just feels like low hanging fruit. The $50, I admit, I think seems really, really strange in this scenario. I wonder if it's, there's like a lot of theories out there. I don't know if it's paving the way for the future. I don't know why you raise the price. Like, is it because they have so much stock of the old model that they don't want to sell at the same price? Because it seems like this should just replace the current model. Like, just $299. Here's the upgrade. I don't understand why it's $50 more. Like, I get it. There's an OLED screen. There's a LAN port. To be honest with you, especially considering what the Switch cost to manufacture when it started, Nintendo's probably not paying any more for this revision than it was for the old one. And if it is, it's marginal at best. Like, very it's marginal. Not significant.
I would speculate that they're not dropping the price of the OG Switch because they don't have to. That's still selling super, super well. So then would you offer this at the same price? I don't think you could do that either. So probably what they ended up doing is they're keeping the OG Switch at the current price, pricing this $50 more, and then when they sell out of the OG Switch, then they can move it down. And maybe they add something even higher at the top end, the $400 mark. And then you've got a $100 differential between the new OG Switch, the OLED model.
I think that's kind of the popular theory that's floating around that I agree with too, that they're kind of making us feel a little comfortable with that $350 price tag for something even better for $400.
Yep.
They're just selling enough units for these prices. Like, it's like, why would we put it down $250 right now if it's selling just fine with the
OG model?
So it's like, fine.
They've got Pokemon to sell. No, they've got games to sell. So, like, you're spot on. Andy writes, and sorry, that last question came from Adam. Andy writes, what the hell is a Nintendo doing? No resolution or performance boost? No HDR? No upscaling? No new Joy-Cons? Raising the price? Who is this for? What do you think, Rebecca? Yeah. Who's this for?
I said, I think it's for people who don't have a Switch at all and want something, you know, a little bit nicer. Or people like you, CJ, where you have the original model and you don't have that better battery life. You maybe want to do that revision and want to get the version that's a little bit nicer. You know, maybe your Switch is from day one and it's not running as well, or, you know, it has some broken parts and it's time to replace it anyway. Why not shell out that extra $50 and get something that's a little bit better? I think that's who it's for. And like you said, it's selling more. There's always going to be people like Donnie who are going to upgrade anyway. They're getting more of the Switch family sold to say this is how many Switches in the family have sold. They're selling more units, and they can. You know, they don't need all of those things to sell it. Just more systems.
I think you're spot on. I we've heard for a while now, people share pictures on our Discord of their Switches cracking. They've dropped them. You know, they've got nicks and dings and stuff on the corner.
Like, a Joy-Con drift.
Yeah, if you're one of those folks that have been holding out this long and you're on that original model, then I think the upgrade is probably significant. That battery alone, I think any of us with a better battery model can tell you it's like twice as good as the original model. And then you get all the upgrades on top of it. Like, that's a... it's a pretty sweet upgrade. Not to mention, like CJ said earlier, you can sell your Switch for probably $200 pretty easily, pretty fast.
What do you think the GameStop trade-in value would be?
I think $200 might be the sweet spot, or like $175. Like, they'll probably sell. Yeah. They'll probably get a lot of trade-ins of $175. That essentially almost cuts it in half. You know, that's not too bad.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that would be nice. Who's it for? Yeah, I think Rebecca's spot on. It's like, it could be for me. It's just that my Switch is still just fine. I only play handheld sparingly right now. I still play a lot docked as well. So I'm still on the fence. I want to see side by side for sure. I want to see a demo at a Target or a Best Buy. It's like, prove me this OLED screen is much better. Give me, what does the 7 inches look like compared to my 6.2 inches, or something like that?
Speaking of the 7 inches, did anyone else like think? I know it's marginal. Like, we see it's just like, it's like, you know, they just grabbed the corner of the slider and they just dragged it up a bit. But when you saw the people in the trailer holding it, I was like, God, that looks a lot bigger.
It does,
doesn't it? Just taller, maybe. Like, why did it just? It looked like it just really looked like a different size, like a different proportion.
It looks rounded out.
Used to, yeah, yeah.
Zenith, I think this is the new mid-range model, though. I think they're just preparing us for what comes after this.
Oh, I think we've got plenty.
So we don't. It's not obvious now who this is for because we don't see the rest of the plan.
Mm. Good point. Sure. Zenith goes, he also asked who is this targeted to, but he adds a lot more questions. So let's see how many we can get through. More importantly, how well will the model sell? On the surface, it seems like a small audience because those who play handheld probably primarily play on the light, while those on the TV likely want more added to this model. Is there going to be much demand for this model outside of the I want the best model there is group? Part two would have been better to put the OLED screen in the light. I mean,
it's a good point.
I think it's going to sell well, because everything for the last 4 years with Switch on it has sold well. And, that may be, you know, I don't know, like, is that unsafe to assume? Like, there's a lot of folks out there that are unhappy. So like, maybe they'll prove a point with this one. I just feels like whatever Nintendo slaps Switch onto moves. Right now.
Yeah, I just think mommy and daddy go to the GameStop and it's like, okay, we got this $300 one, we got this $350 one. And the employee, you ask the employee, what's the difference? It's like, well, the $350 one's slightly better.
Yeah,
it's newer. I don't know what else to tell you. It's newer. And we just sold out on the $300 one. It's like, okay, fine, let's buy the $350.
Yeah, but there's that $199 one. Like sitting there, that's right?
What, yeah,
and, but it doesn't go on the TV.
Yeah, that's a handheld only, right? And then the other one's a dock. So
yeah.
I think you're right. You're spot on. It's going to be selling pretty well. I think the maybe not at the rate at which the light sells, but I think it's going to be pretty close. These things sell like crazy. So
how much has the light sold at this point?
I think it's like about a third of the Switch sales or a half.
Is it that much? I don't think this will sell as much as the half. Light.
Okay. No. It's probably a third, though. The rate of which... I don't know
that this will sell as much as the... Unless they do start phasing out the original Switch model, I don't really see this selling as much as the Lite.
Okay.
But if it has longer legs than I'm thinking and like we don't get a Switch Pro, I hate to keep talking about the Switch Pro. I just want to be done with that. But we have to look ahead at some point. If it has longer legs than I'm thinking and they do phase out the OG Switch model, it could sell more.
Yeah. I think that's a good point, is the longer legs. This proves I don't think we're going to see a Switch Pro, a boosted CPU or whatever, anytime soon with this model coming out. Do you think,
I think
it could announce next year? I know I've seen Jeff Grubb, like, you know, announcing all these bunch of, like, new versions that are in development and everything. But when I see this, and this is just coming out later this year, it's like, I find it very hard to believe that they're going to have a brand new model coming out next year. That's just my thinking, Garrett.
It seems like they're kind of on a 2-year cycle here. We have 2 years until the light, 2 years for this. Let it rest. Like, they're not going to have, you know, if they already announce something a year from now, that's going to be even better. This has had the shortest shelf life, and I know that they have done that with like the DSi or DS Lite or whatever it was. They have done that. There is precedent for it, but I don't know. I think it seems like they're on this 2-year cycle, so I think it's 2 years before we see something bigger and grander.
These are very different price points than those as well, and you have to consider that quite a bit. You're not in the 100, 149, even 199 space. You're in the $350 space. I think people will feel a little more heartburn on that. My speculation, this is just a guess, this is just me reading tea leaves, is that I would expect the Switch Pro or the Switch 2 or whatever they're going to call it to roll out with Breath of the Wild 2 now, and I'm going to give it a delay and say spring 2023.
Okay. Another year, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that too.
I could see that. Yeah. I mean, I was the person that bought the 3DS XL right before they brought out the new 3DS, and I still bought both.
There will be people like that. Yeah.
All the 3DSs.
This is very XL-ish. I remember that.
I have no problem with that.
The XL came out, and it was like a quality of life improvement. And just everything was a little bit better, but nothing was drastic. Right? It was like the 3D is better, the screen is better, but it's the same system. And people went bananas for that. The XL sold gangbusters when it released. And I brought up today, there's a lot of people on Twitter that are real salty about how this stacks up with other consoles in the market or the price or anything. And it's, I remember when the Xbox One S came out. And to me, that feels like a very good analogy for this, because the One S is basically the exact same thing as the Xbox One, but they added like a Blu-ray player. Yeah. And they refined it, right? It was a quality of life improvement. It looked sleeker. They got rid of that bad design. But for the most part, it was the same thing. And Xbox fans rejoiced when it came out. Everybody was so happy. I feel like if this, man, I wonder if $50 would have made a real big difference to the way people feel. I don't feel like it. I think it's just people are let down because they really, really wanted that Switch Pro that we've been talking about. Trust me, I get it. I feel ya. I'm with you. I'm one of them. You already know that. I really would have liked the new revision, but I'm not going to let that stop me from giving this one a try. Because if it's the best way to play my games portably, then that's what I'll do. It'll be, still be the best way to play.
This is very much the same as the new battery life model, right? Where it was new battery life in parentheses. Like, this is on the box. It says OLED, but it's still Nintendo Switch. It's not...
Yes.
Nintendo Switch new version, even like
right.
This, to me, this is more revision than anything else, and it'll sell to people who don't have Switches. They'll buy it because this is the new hotness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until all the OG Switches are gone out of the market. Well, everybody who already has a Switch, this model is not for you. This is for expanding their market.
Yeah, Jason said it best in the Discord today. It's better than the 3DS Galaxy Edition. They just like put a picture of the stars on it, and they're like, it's a new 3DS, guys. Gotta go get it.
Go for it.
That made no sense. And I did joke about that. At least they're still giving us a charger, guys. Could be worse.
That's true.
Could be worse. James asks, so do you think this is the Switch Pro everyone's been discussing, or do you think the 4K model will come later? Will it be another Switch family of systems or a whole new generation Switch 2? We've got several questions about the leaks later, so I'm going to refrain from talking about the leaks now.
Yeah.
I will say that this model, a non-4K upgraded OLED Switch, was also rumored by multiple outlets. We talked about it on the show. We didn't believe it.
We definitely did.
It wasn't always like the popular rumor, but it was rumored for quite a bit. So... could there be a case where folks got their paths crossed or their lines crossed? Possibly. I expect that the DLSS thing, where there's smoke, there's fire, too many people reported that for it not to be true. So whether it comes next year or 2 years from now or five, I don't know. But I expect that that will come eventually.
It's coming.
Yeah.
For sure. Didn't we have a report that Nintendo had an excess of these Tegra processors or something like that? I think we mentioned that once.
In terms of the Tegra, because that's actually, and I don't want to get too techie. But in terms of the Tegra has a lot of overhead still in it. And I know a lot of people are hoping that this is somewhat overclocked and it'll do something. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think if it was the case, Nintendo would have at least marginally said to it. But who knows? Like, maybe when it comes out, maybe we find that it's ever so slightly gets a little frame extra, like, I don't know, who knows, maybe it's possible.
Digital Foundry will figure it out.
There's like grills in the dock for like fans,
yeah,
and people are like, see, and it's like, I'm pretty sure that's just to make it
just smaller grills just so dust doesn't come in.
I'm pretty sure that's just to make it cool, like just a little bit more, but we won't know until
you don't have to pay for that plastic.
Right, exactly.
That's what the grills are. They don't have to pay.
They cut their plastic footprint down 5%.
Oh my gosh!
Sweet, $5 more.
Jeez. Rebecca, do you think this is the Switch Pro?
No, I don't. I don't. Like I said, I think they're going to be on a 2-year cycle, and I think this is going to be the last family, like in the Switch system, and like James phrased the question, it will be a new generation, like the Switch. I still think the next one will be called Switch something, like whether it's Switch 2 or like, but I think it'll be more than a revision. I think it'll be more of an upgrade than what we're seeing here. Obviously, it'll be enough. Yeah, I think it'll be like kind of like what, God forbid I say, the Wii U to the Wii, but like the next console, but it's clearly
so
building off of it directly.
Breath of the Wild 2 only playable on Switch 2.
No. Breath of the Wild 2 is not cross-gen. Maybe.
Twilight Princess. Maybe. It's both, but
yeah, I think definitely that, much yeah, better on most, this other one. At most. Breath of the Wild 2 is definitely coming out on the Switch.
So when I hear next generation, that's my first thought is Nintendo software only playable in the new model.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you just think that model will come after Breath of the Wild 2 then?
Yes.
Okay.
Two-year cycle, gotcha. Not 2021, but 2022.
I gotcha. Okay. CJ?
I'm not sure we'll have that. I'm not sure there will be a generational leap this time where we have Nintendo games that aren't compatible with the prior hardware. I think what they've got with Switch is too important for that. Like, they've got such a big market, they're going to want to keep that around and continue supporting those games. And like, we're all going to pass our old systems down to other people, whether we sell it back to GameStop or whether, you know, we give it to our kids or whatnot. Like, we're going to, I think Nintendo just wants as many people possible playing Switches, whether that's a Pro 4K model or whether that's the Lite or whether that's the OG. So I don't think we're going to see a generational leap, even with the quote unquote Pro 4K model.
I've always wanted, that's what I've always wanted, actually. I've always wanted Nintendo to just keep it going. It's the iPad. That's what I've always wanted from the Switch, is the iPad. And I brought that up today, too.
Yeah.
People routinely, annually, buy upgrades on phones and tablets that have way, way less improvements than this one do. And they're happy to do so at obscene prices.
I upgrade my phone every day. Every day. That's not right. Every year.
You're every bankrupt. Year, do you really?
Every year I upgrade my
phone. I try to go like 4 years, like a 4 or 5 year cycle with my phone. And I feel like I would be comfortable doing that with a console too. If they did go that route where it was kind of like Apple, where they just did minor revisions every year, I think I would be on that 4 or 5 year cycle as well for a console. Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, what the most important feature to me on a phone anyway is the camera. And every year we get better and better cameras. So it's like, I just want that better camera so that I can continue taking better and better pictures as we go, right? Because I have my phone with me everywhere. That's the best camera that I have. So I always want the highest quality there.
I think it's clear.
And my phone is basically like a portable PC. So I have to upgrade that. It's the computer I use the most, so I want that, right? And it's kind of the same with the Switch. If I play a lot of games on the Switch, I want that best experience, and I sort of that way about any of the consoles.
I'm in the same boat. I want to play it as best I can, so that's why I'll always upgrade. I think Nintendo evidently has always wanted to be in that space. They wanted to be more like that. I think the proof's in the pudding, right? The Game Boy and the GBA and the Color and the Lite and the SP and the 3DS and the new 3DS and the XL. Like, they want to do that. And I think it's just weird when you get into, like, the console space that you just have, you know, 100 million consumers that have been conditioned to expect something every 5 to 7 years and not every 2 years.
Yeah, it's pretty much set now.
Right, so they're always going to be kind of up against this. The same thing with the battery model, right? They did the battery model, and people are like, it's not worth it. And they did the Lite, and they're like, it doesn't, right? It'll always be up against that if your upgrades are marginal. They want giant leaps, you know, big, giant steps in between hardware. But as I also said in Discord today, the great thing about technology is you don't have to buy it.
It's true.
Like, if you're fine with your Switch and you don't think, like, you can wait. That's the best thing about it.
I think I am fine with my Switch. I'm not going to break down if I don't get this Switch OLED model. And I do believe I can be patient for that Switch Pro whenever that comes out later next year or 2023, most likely, or 2024. Like, I'm totally fine playing the games because it's the same performance now with the OLED model. Like, maybe a crisper screen, but like, for me, it's just personally, I can wait till that boosted performance.
Now, here's the question. Next year for Breath of the Wild 2, if they come out with a fancy special edition, do I upgrade then?
You probably will.
It has to be really good, though.
If it's this OLED, bookmark this. I might regret this. But if it's this model, I might pass then.
It would have to be a Zelda special edition?
It would have to be a really good special edition.
So you would rather get this white one than a Zelda Special Edition one?
I'd rather get this now than wait for a painted one. I have a Zelda.
Yeah, but knowing you, Donnie, wouldn't you just sell your white one?
Possibly. That's what I said. That's what I said. I said bookmark this now.
Okay.
Bookmark this now. Throw it in my face later. It wouldn't be the first nor the last time that I do something like this, but it would really have to be a really great special edition. If we're talking like Majora's Mask 3DS XL, abso-freaking-lutely. But if we're talking about some of the other Zelda models with just like a Triforce, no.
That wouldn't get me to upgrade.
Right, but if it's like really good, yes. Yes, for sure.
When you turn on the Switch, it's going to be like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be pretty cool?
Oh, yeah. If OS system sounds were Zelda sounds instead.
Yeah.
If they were just exclusive to this model only. Just folders and themes to this model only. You got to get the OLED.
That'd be terrible.
Stop. You need the OLED model to get the themes.
Don't do it, Nintendo.
Rebecca rolled her eyes because she knows that remember, somebody
Microsoft
in Nintendo
did that with that Star Wars Xbox 360.
That's where true.
Somebody in Nintendo was like, "I know how we can sell these."
That would be so frustrating because you don't need better hardware. This isn't even better hardware. You don't even need. Never mind. They don't. They're not going to do that.
3DS could play Super Nintendo ROMs.
That's true.
Stop
Eric,
it.
Eric says. That's so true. Does it seem in the foreseeable future that it, I presume the Switch, will descend into Nintendo only indie remaster of old games machine? Eric, that's what my Switch has been. Like, I don't know if you're new to the podcast. Yes. This is where I've been for better part of 2 years now. So yeah, same space for me.
Is he asking if it we're going to, because we're not kind of making those leaps to like compared to the other consoles to get the third party support, is he saying that third party support will be phased out?
I think probably both of those things. I think both of those things are true of the Switch already, that the parity between the consoles is huge. There's a gigantic significant drop when you buy most third party games on Switch. And if this gap is ever widening as next gen gets further established, that there'll be less and less of those ports on Switch, which I think is already true. I don't think that's grasping anything. That's true now. Like, third party for Switch has been indie games. Indie games and ports of old games. Yeah. That is third party Switch. That's what it is. And I have always said, I'm totally fine with that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or cloud version. Thank you. I'm totally fine with that. I like my Switch being an indie machine. I like playing most indies portably. I'm good with that.
I agree with you, Donnie. Like, this, my Switch is for old video games and for Nintendo only games. The third party games is like, I got an Xbox or a PlayStation for that. It's going to run much better. And like, the third party games, if you compare them to Switch, I know some are good ports. I'm not saying that they're bad ports, but they're just better ports out there for cheaper prices. And if I play on handheld with these third party games, it's going to drop like in 30 minutes. Like, it's just not worth it.
Yep.
So.
Anything else, Rebecca, to that?
No, I think you guys kind of hit the nail on the head there.
So you take the next one. Ashley says, so did Nintendo not show this revision off at or before E3 because they expected people to be disappointed?
I mean, in hindsight, I guess it kind of makes sense to look at it that way, but I don't necessarily think Nintendo thinks that way when they're thinking about what they want to present and when they want to present it. I think historically, and I know that there are cases where this is not true, but historically they don't really show off hardware at E3. I feel like that's something that they just tend to do on their own anyway. It makes a bigger bang when it's on their own, when it's on its own. So I don't think they look at this and be like, oh, this is disappointing. It's not what people want. I think they want to make a big deal out of it and to make it stand out on its own. They do it separately from E3.
They trended
on Twitter
today.
They look at it. Yeah. Yes, they wouldn't. I mean, it wouldn't have been the big announcement, and if it was the big announcement at E3, then the other games would get overshadowed. I think they very carefully show this when they want to.
Good point. So, Garrett, I'm going to ask you the next question.
Yeah.
Do you think if this was announced with Metroid Dread at E3, people would have been more excited about it? Like, if they showed Metroid Dread in the Emmy white, black style that it has, and then immediately were like, and we have this OLED Switch coming out the same day, do you think it would have hit differently?
it could have been complimentary to Metroid Dread, but to be honest with you, I want Metroid Dread to be synonymous to just Nintendo Switch in general. Like, I don't want to confuse people with Metroid Dread with this system by itself. I don't want it to make confuse people. It's like, this is dedicated to the Switch OLED version. It's going to run slightly better, because I think that's what people have in their heads when they have a video game associated with a console. I'm glad that they showed Metroid Dread by itself, because that really showed off for the Metroid fans specifically, yeah, not for the system itself. So,
not to mention, it would confuse people and make them think, oh no, is this game exclusive to the OLED model? Like, there would be people that might think that as well.
Kyle asks us the next question. With OLED and Metroid Dread dropping the same day, man, I do like the Metroid Dread OLED. Will there be a Metroid Dread OLED Switch in the works? Everybody is hyping up Zelda OLED Switch model, which I don't mind personally, but would a Metroid OLED model kickstart the hype train? What do you think, CJ?
It would be pretty cool. I've already seen some fan art that people drew of Samus's blue and red suit and Emmy's white, the white robot, the Emmy robot, as being kind of equivalent to these Switch colors. So in a way, this is already a Metroid Dread Switch, right? Maybe they'll do special Joy-Cons. That'd be fun. I mean, it seems to me that Nintendo, at least with this generation, has more gone, except for Animal Crossing and Pokemon, has more gone down the line of doing special Joy-Cons instead of special edition systems.
I think if there was something special for Metroid hardware related, we know about it already. I think they would have announced
it. Yeah, I think they would have showed it today.
Yeah. Mage 13 asks, do you think these Joy-Cons will be improved or revised at all? No, they've confirmed that these are the exact same Joy-Cons that everybody has already had issues with about the drift and everything. It also means that the Joy-Cons you already have will work for it. So I know that Rebecca already has a white Joy-Con. I myself have a white Joy-Con. I have a white D-pad Joy-Con. So I welcome the addition that the white model has. I will say, just in regards to the color of the system, I really wish the entire system was white. The backplate, the bezel. I'm really upset, even without those, I'm really upset that the grip included is not white. I would have liked the white grip with the white Joy-Con and the black buttons.
See, I disagree. I like the black complimentary with it. I think it looks nice. Yeah.
The back and forth.
I like it.
Yeah.
Switch design would go with my chair and my headset and my PS5.
Yeah, well, now you got to get some cat ear headphones, Garrett.
I got to get cat ears, and I'm ready for streaming.
I feel like the white console is coming back. Like, we see it with the PS5. Like, I see people posting about it and stuff, but I just feel like that color scheme is back.
It's like clean. It's the iPhone. Yeah. It's the iPad. Yeah, like,
it goes away and then it comes back.
Yeah. I do think, I wish the neon model wasn't the neon model. That feels tired. It's done before.
Boring.
Like, why not do a different color? You know,
they've
done so many different colors.
Like, pure black, not gray.
Pure black.
Like the black, black.
That's what I was saying. I wanted an all black model and an all white model. Everything, the whole system in both colors. Mm-hmm. I think those would have been two cool SKUs to do together. Because then you could have mixed and match.
Oh, maybe they can do black with the Pro. That'll be.
That's probably
what we're paying for in 2022 or 2023.
Glossy black plastic. That's how you know. This is the real edgy tech Pro. As you get the glossy,
that sounds like a Wii U right now.
Black plastic.
Matte black. I was talking about matte black.
BMOX, do you think Nintendo has conceded that the Switch will only ever be a 1080p console, and whatever they decide to do next, that's when they will go 4K? And he also adds, to make no improvement for dock players is the biggest disappointment for him. This is what you were saying, Rebecca, right? That the next thing would be like the next thing. And that's when we kick off with the big generation, the big tech leap.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. 2-year cycle, it feels like.
I think that makes sense. At this point in the Switch's life cycle, I couldn't imagine them doing a Pro and then a Switch 2. That just,
that is so weird.
That's just a lot. That's really a lot. I think you might wear people out at that point. So, yeah, I think I agree with that. Valkyrie Man, do you think this OLED model will phase out the original SKU? I do. I don't know how much longer they're going to keep making the original SKU, but my belief is that it would become harder and harder to find on store shelves. They may not like make a thing about it. They may not make a deal about it, but as they get their production back on schedule and components in, you'll just kind of see less and less of the red boxes and more of these boxes. Speaking of the box, you see that they're like vertical versus horizontal.
Yeah.
Right? They got this cube vertical. I like that. It's nice.
Yeah.
They're going to have a nice look on shelves.
Yeah.
It was like the new Nintendo 3DS. But yeah, no, I totally think the OLED model will phase out the original SKU, and I think they'll knock down the price, $50. And it's like, all right, we're done with this SKU. Maybe knock it down to 250 if you still see it, but
definitely not.
For the most part, well, for the most part, you're just going to see the $300 model out there. So
yeah. And that's what CJ, that's what you were alluding to earlier, right? That's when we get our big $400 Switch that we'll both buy again.
Oh, I'll get that.
And there will still be people out there that'll be like, Series X does this, and why are you paying more for that? Because I freaking want to. Why is that never a good excuse anymore? Why is it never a good excuse to just be like,
life Switch?
Because I want one. Because I think it's
and cool. And that like replaced the OG model, but nobody really like paid attention to when that replaced the OG model. Same thing is going to happen here. Yeah. We're not even going to notice it. But by like early 2022, not going to be able to find OG Switches on shelves. It's going to be this model.
Yeah,
that's just going to be the Switch.
I haven't.
We're not even going to say OLED version. It's going to be Nintendo Switch.
I haven't seen an OG box in a bit, actually. Just they had it
stores where I am.
Yeah, and then just one day they were all the red box Switch. So
yeah.
There's a great question. Shiv asks, has Nintendo finally broken the curse of stupid names for systems? The name of this thing tells you pretty much exactly what you're getting. What a novel idea. What do you think, Rebecca?
Like I said, none of us, if we had 100 guesses each, nobody would have thought that it was going to be called this. But we also didn't think it was going to be this minor of a revision.
Right.
The other revision didn't even get a name at all. So
does
I think
this
is
that the Switch 2, Switch Pro, whatever will be called, the Switch 4K edition?
No, I don't. I think this is still a revision. It's not the next console. I think they want to kind of make it clear to consumers why it's a little bit better. Like, what is the main draw for this? Without saying it's a brand new console that does new things, you can play new games on it that you couldn't ever before. It's making it clear to the consumers while staying true to what the original Switch is, because it is the original Switch.
Switch X. Just do it.
X gonna give it to
just
you.
Just do it. Just the Switch X. There's nothing more techie than putting a big, edgy X on the end of your
product. Is it 10 or is it X?
Oh,
so I hope the dock is an X, and so you can just nail it down and it lights up. Oh, man. That would be my Switch Pro. Yeah. Give it to me, Nintendo.
I love you, Garrett. I love you so much.
Yeah.
Hobik asks, the hardware release is very similar to what the new 3DS release was for that line. How disappointed are you that this Switch model did not make use of the, quote, new branding? CJ, I know you've alluded to that. Are you disappointed?
I'm not disappointed at all. No. I think, they ran the gamut with the new branding. I don't think even if we get a Switch Pro, it won't be called new Nintendo Switch or anything like that. They're doing... The naming convention is, in parentheses, OLED model. In parentheses, new battery life model. That's how they're doing it.
Yep. Okay, let's talk about the insiders and the leaks and everything we've been talking about for the last 2 years. Because there were a lot of hot, spicy takes on that today. So Sunshine64 kicks us off. So do you think the insiders got this wrong? Or did the plans for the Switch Pro change? I think there's been a lot of speculation on that today. I don't know. That's going to be my answer. A lot of times I show up here trying to tell you what's going on and what everything means. In this case, I really don't know. I think both of these things could be true. I think some insiders could be wrong. They could be wrong. Is not the right word because I don't think they're wrong. I already said, I think the Switch 4K DLSS, whatever exists. So if that comes out next year, were they wrong? No, they weren't wrong. They had it. They just...
It's going to come out.
Right. They were confused.
Do
so I think it's possible.
Chip shortages plays a role?
It could. I've heard that a bit.
Very
it's
much
possible.
Could.
It's very possible. Yeah. If they're having a hard time making units, or let's say they had a hard time getting enough stock, so they didn't think they could sell enough, or they didn't think they could get developers enough time to figure out the DLS part on a mobile chip. Like, there's a lot of tech reasons why something like this could have been delayed, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, because DLSS, while adopted some on PC, is still not like widely adopted.
It's definitely not widely adopted right now. Yeah, give it a few years.
So with the timing of everything, maybe even their own first party lineup, a lot of people have thought that the Switch Pro would be paired with Breath of the Wild. Maybe that's true. You know, maybe the Zelda team was like, we're not ready. And they're like, well, delay it. You know,
we're fine. We're selling just fine.
That also could be true. There's a lot of things could be true, but I don't like the folks taking shots at the insiders or the leaks, because a lot of those folks are very, I think, you know, they've got a good track record and a good history, and they've been right.
Also unfair to be mad at Nintendo if you believe what people are saying and you take it for word, you're gonna be like, this is what's gonna happen. Like, I don't think that the insiders like just lie on purpose. I think they hear things, and it's not necessarily their fault if things get misconstrued, you know, through the whisper down the lane, or you know, plans do change. But if you're taking what they're saying for word and that's what you expect to happen, and then you get mad at Nintendo for it, I think that's nobody's fault but your own. I don't think you can blame any insiders for that.
That's great. Mm-hmm. We have a great follow-up question, but before I get to it, I want to say this. These rumors for the upgraded Switch came out when the Switch Lite rumors came out. They're almost 3 years old.
Yeah.
The original Switch Lite rumor mentioned an OLED screen model. It was like 3 years ago. A lot can happen between now and then. Like, there's a lot of changes that happened in that.
I just remember the rumors about the Wii HD. Do you remember that?
Yes. Absolutely, I do.
Before the Wii U was announced, so, like, and that never really happened. Like, for me, insiders, it's like a game of telephone, right? Even if you have people in the supply chain that are saying this, or you have, you know, some insider saying this, like, it's all a game of telephone, and sometimes those details get mashed together, and we get a sort of combined report because it's not clear what's what, and it's I agree, it's definitely unfair to get mad at any of the insiders for this.
I agree
for sure. I think, which is one more thing, we glorify, I think, in terms of the public and leakers themselves, I think, the term Switch Pro, and I think that Switch Pro term is kind of interchangeably locking when it comes to leakers, and I can totally see both sets of rumors, right? We saw the OLED screen and just a bigger screen, and then we saw the 4K DLSS. And I think we're never going to see a name called Switch Pro when it officially announces. I highly doubt we're going to see that name. I just, when we saw the Switch Pro together, I think that's when we started to confuse both of these rumors together. So just be very careful out there, guys.
Yeah.
Don't believe in everything.
Yeah.
Adam asks, should Nintendo do anything to better set expectations instead of letting leakers run wild, getting everyone's expectations too high for upcoming announcements? I am personally of two thoughts on this. I think good PR can set expectations right. I think you can be engaged and you can show that you're listening. At the same time, I don't expect every company to react to every rumor that happens. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's good either. You don't want it to be, you don't want to give, like, I'm going to call it the mob, but like just the social presence, like that kind of power over, you know, to you, that you're just constantly hearing them off. I do think, though, in Nintendo's case, that maybe cutting off the Switch Pro rumors with the DLSS and everything at a earlier time may have meant that more people are excited about today's announcement than they originally were. I do think that's a possibility. But Nintendo's never really done that. So to expect them to do differently, I don't have that expectation.
Right.
I think they did try to manage people's expectations by not announcing this before E3 or at E3. Like, making the games the center of attention for E3 and then announcing this later after everybody sort of forgot about the rumors for a minute and calmed down, because, man, things were so, like, tension was crazy. Like, that week after Memorial Day, when everybody was like, it's imminent.
We went live an hour late. It's happening. There's going to be an announcement.
I much prefer this. I think this was managing people's expectations. I think it was delayed because people were way too hot, and they knew that this wasn't what people were expecting, the 4K, the Pro. It wasn't living up to that.
I like that.
Smart. Steven asks, do leaks or rumors ruin the actual announcement? For example, rumor is we are getting X, Y, and Z, but once the actual announcement happens, we only get X and Y. Are you more angry that you didn't get Z, or are you just excited for X and Y as you would have been had you not known they were coming? This seems to be the never-ending debate on leaks and rumors. Rebecca, you look like you're ready to say something.
I don't think you can take every leak and rumor and put that into the... Like, I think it's different for how each one happens. Like, I don't want to say for every single leak I feel this way, because I think there have been leaks that I ended up being more excited after it was announced versus, you know, vice versa. One that comes to mind is the Mario Rabbids. When that leaked, everybody thought, oh my God, this is so stupid. Like, what is this game? This can't be real. Like, what the heck is Nintendo doing? And then it came out and people were like, this actually looks pretty cool. And then the game released and they're like, this is actually fun. So I think that's an example. And by chance, I think you can't replicate it. Just by chance, I think that was an example of something leaking early that did a favor for the game. Whereas I would have to try to think of an example of the opposite scenario. Maybe it's this. I don't know. Maybe this is the opposite scenario where it's not as good as what we thought it was going to be. So I think there are some situations where you are angry that you didn't get Z, but there might be situations where you're more excited. I think Pokemon leaks come to mind with that too. Because Pokemon is very known for leaking, especially the starters early. I specifically remember for Sun and Moon, the starters leaked early and people were like, oh my God, what is that ugly Tony the Tiger design? And it ended up becoming true. Maybe that softened the blow for people. I don't know.
I just think, like, with me, with rumors in general, I say they don't affect me face value. Like, I would say that right in front of me. It's like, oh, this doesn't affect me at all. But, like, now I'm thinking about it. I was like, I think leaks and rumors put a bias in my head subconsciously, right? Like, I think about this announcement initially. It's like, oh, this is not the Switch Pro. And it kind of let me down. And then I kind of thought about it throughout the day, probably near the end of the day. It's like, well, I mean, it is a bigger screen. It is an OLED screen. There's some positive things around it. And just because these rumors or leaks were not specifically true for this product, I think I have to keep my mind in check sometimes, mulling over this announcement. People need to stop, like, instantly having a response, like, 2 minutes later after this trailer and having thoughts about it. Of course, for journalists, that's their job. Do your job. But, like, for the public, it's like, try to think this over. Like, think about it. And Nintendo's shoes as well.
Or be open. Is this open right to for changing you? It? Like, yeah. You don't have to just lock in that it's awful immediately because you saw somebody do that or you think that yourself. If it wins you over, like, just be open to changing. You can just, like, you know, I changed my mind. Totally fair.
For sure.
I have.
As someone who's been an Apple fan for a long time and have, you know, watched Apple presentations where the rumors beforehand were crazy, like for a long time, Apple's going to make a television or Apple's going to do this or that. This is going to be the one. This is going to be the one we're all waiting for. And it never like meets those expectations. So now, like whenever I read a rumor, I always try to like temper that with, okay, well, what if this doesn't happen? Or I try to separate it from being excited about the rumor to being excited about the actual announcement. And try to separate those two, because otherwise you create this sort of cycle of you're always going to be disappointed by whatever the announcement is, right? Because the rumors are almost always better than what you end up getting, especially with Apple and Nintendo. I think that's sort of a commonality between the two.
Spot on. Both you and Rebecca's answers were absolutely correct and perfect. Sorry, Garrett. You guys really, really nailed it. But I'm gonna take a minute just to, this comes up with me a lot. A lot of folks in our Discord know that I like sharing leaks, I like sharing rumors, I like jumping into this, I like following things, I like trying to be on the edge and in the know. And I get this question a lot. A lot of people are like, you know, does this affect you? Are you upset? I got a lot of this today. Mm-hmm. There's people asking me, Donnie, are you okay? Like, are you just so depressed right now? And that has never been the case for me. So I can only speak for myself. This is how I personally deal with it. But personally, seeing something is better than like knowing the rumor. I don't ever find that knowing what has happened has made me less excited to actually see it for my own eyes. The example I bring up often is Forza. Jeff Grubb mentioned that Forza was releasing on our podcast a year ago. We've known that Forza was coming, and it didn't change anything or how excited I was when I saw it, because when I saw it, it looked awesome. Like, I think that's the thing, right? Like, you get let down if the rumor, as Rebecca said, doesn't live up to it. And that happens. Like, that's, if you follow rumors, it's just a part of it. You got to know it. I'm never going to not do it because I think it's fun. I personally think it's more fun. It's more fun to be talking about it. What could happen? What's the possibilities? How much of our podcast would change if we never had any of those conversations the last two or three years? Nobody wants to do that. That's, what is that? You're just news reporting. You're just reporting the news, the stock news as it happens. You may not even share an opinion because every opinion is somewhat based in some sort of speculation. So, you know, I've never followed that line of thinking. That's why today I didn't tweet out things like be mad at these people that are sharing links. Like, no, if anything, they give us a lot of great entertainment. Like, enjoy the ride. It's video games.
That's a very positive way of thinking about rumors and speculations for sure. Just people that just don't let your hopes down when you see the thing is then don't get instantly mad on that.
The other part of this is that we all knew, whether we said it flippantly or not, we all knew that this was a likely outcome from Nintendo. Every time we talked about the Switch Pro, we always made jokes about how it wasn't going to fix the Joy-Con or was only going to do this or wasn't going to have a charger. IGN named their Nintendo podcast Voice Chat.
New hardware, always. They don't have it. You talk about it long enough, they're always going to have new hardware at some point.
Yeah.
Yep. Got to be patient.
Yep. The Wii HD. Like, there's always, that's always out there.
You can separate the hype and the actual product. Like, you can be excited for both things. Like, I don't think it has to be a one or the other. Yeah. And me too. I'm the same way.
I saw this today and I was like, oh, this isn't what we thought. And it didn't even, I wasn't like, oh my God, it's not what I literally was like, oh, this isn't what we thought. Let's see what this is about.
Exactly.
that was exactly how my brain processed that trailer as it started to unfold. Like, well, it's not the thing, but what is it?
My friend texted to me just like that morning. He's like, oh, I'm good then. I can wait for the Switch Pro.
I don't necessarily think that your opinion would be different if you knew about it ahead of time or not. Like, if, you know, and they were talking what it could have been and what we hoped it would be. I think if all of those rumors didn't come out, we're in a scenario where, like, there was just no rumors at all and this news dropped, I think you would feel the same way about this Switch model that you do right now.
Probably. Yeah, I think that's fair.
And I think so eventually. Initially,
the initial you might be a little bit more disappointed, you know, you have those expectations, and I think that's okay to be, you know, to have those expectations and be disappointed, but I don't think you're not gonna buy it now because it's not those, like,
exactly,
you know, those, you know,
damn it, Emily Rogers said
buy it no matter what.
that's a little
far. I have to say, like, it would be interesting to go back to 2019 and listen to some Nintendo podcasts from around when the battery revision model was announced and see if the reaction is similar, because even around that time we had heard about Switch Mini or Switch Pro. Even around that time people were still talking about hardware revisions like that, and it'd be interesting to see if people were as disappointed with that as they are with this. I wouldn't be surprised if they were, but now we're like, the battery revision model is just the Switch, and that's, you know, everybody's fine with that.
I think you're right. If I would dare say, I kind of want to go back and hear what I said, because I felt like I remember being pretty excited about the battery model. So I remember being like, it's just a battery. I'm like, but it's double the battery. Like, I was like, I'm totally going to
deal.
Yeah, because I traded in. It was the same price. I traded in. I think I got the better battery for like $50. I was like, this is a sweet deal. But you're probably right, CJ. And I just, before we leave this, on the leakers and stuff and what I was talking about, as Rebecca said, you could have, you know, you can keep speculating about the hardware and eventually you'd be right. This is the other thing that I say about leaks. Knowing that a game is coming, think about how many games you know are coming. You know another Mario game's coming. You know there'll be Zelda games after the next Zelda game. You know there's another Madden coming. Guess what, guys? There's a new Call of Duty coming out this year. Did you know that? They haven't announced it yet. Guaranteed it's coming out. You heard it here first. Seeing it is so much better than knowing that it's on the way. What is it? That's the point that matters. I feel like that often gets lost in the rumors and speculation part. You know, like the figuring it out can be fun for some, but seeing it is a totally different story. For me personally. Definitely. For me. How validated, another question for Steven, how validated does Rebecca feel right now, knowing how frustrated she was by all the rumors and speculation talk, and how devastated is Garrett knowing the Bluetooth functionality is the same as the OG?
Non-existent, is that it?
Oh, jeez. I don't know if validated is the right word. I'm not feeling smug that it's the way that it is. Is that what he's asking? What he's implying?
I don't know. I thought I just think it's more like a joke because in the times in the podcast you've been like the Switch Pro isn't real. I was thinking more like that, like it was like a joke.
I don't know. Validated. I think maybe you're talking about that we don't have to keep talking about the Switch Pro anymore.
Yeah.
But Steven, this is the worst case scenario for me. It's not the Switch Pro. That means we have to keep talking about it until the Switch Pro
Those
comes,
rumors
which
are just
going to
keep going.
Probably yes. 2 years from now. So for the next 2 years, every week on Thursday night, we're going to be talking about the Switch Pro.
Next Good week, night. Nate the Hate is going to take the reset era. Guys, get the latest scoop on the Switch Pro.
Rebecca, did you hear about the new RAM?
Well, and after the new Switch Pro, we'll be talking about the Switch 2, and that'll be two stages.
Our last question. Boy, man, I'm telling you, it's been almost an hour and 15 minutes of just questions.
Love it.
Michael Corsi writes, is Nintendo beginning to sway into the classic, quote, arrogant Sony PlayStation 3 territory?
Ooh.
I can't help but think they are simply cutting corners on everything from Mario Golf, tennis, to Animal Crossing for the simple reason that they can get away with it and keep their costs down. I know that COVID has played a role in numerous shapes and forms of the past year, but I keep going back to Animal Crossing. You have 33 million purchases and the support has been abysmal. Do you think this is the case? Do you think they will redeem themselves down the road? This has been a trendy topic of late. I feel like right after the Mario Golf thing, a lot of people were going to the, oh, Nintendo just ripping you off again. It's just like, you know, 3D All-Stars. It's just like Animal Crossing. Like, this seems to be a thing that is on people's minds. So I thought it a good time to address it after this Switch launch. What do you think, CJ?
No, I don't think this is an example of arrogant Nintendo trying not to give us what we want. Like, I think Nintendo in general, they utilize a lower tier of technology to try to make their products. Like, they're not going for the most horsepower or the highest resolution that you can get. They're not going to advertise 8K on the box of something. Like, but I think if people don't see that, they get disappointed. Until they play the games, and then that sort of goes away. They don't care about that stuff. So while I do think stuff like Mario Golf and some of the disappointment there, I think part of it can be chalked up probably to COVID and the pandemic. I mean, Nintendo will, to me anyway, will never do the Microsoft or Sony thing. They'll never give you the most powerful thing. Like, that's just not them, right? And then 30, 40 years of following Nintendo, that's just been their MO the entire time. And there's no reason that they need to change because the Switch is doing extremely without that stuff.
I feel like our bubble has way higher expectations than the vast majority of Switch players. I don't think little Jimmy down the road who's 10 and plays Pokemon Sword and Shield with his friends are complaining that all 900 Pokemon aren't in the game. I don't think that, you know, they're so mad that this new OLED Switch isn't everything that the 4K and whatnot. Like, stuff that we have. I'm just saying, like, I know little Jimmy doesn't have that voice, but
little Jimmy's from the Bronx.
Heck yeah.
You know what I mean, though? I feel like we have these expectations and hopes and wishes and stuff that the hundreds of millions of Switch owners, like, don't. I don't know.
I don't feel...
Nintendo doesn't cater to what we want. They want to sell consoles. And these people don't care, quite frankly, about if Mario Golf is getting, you know, all the stuff that we talk about.
Yeah, I think you're spot
on. We're the minority.
I think I'm a little hard here. I think there's a difference between what I'm about to say and the quote arrogant Sony from PlayStation 3. That was a whole separate thing that I don't think Nintendo's ever gone to. They came out, it's $5.99, you get a second job. That's like extreme, okay? So just rule that out, and I want to say this. Because I want to be open to this question. Sean kind of gave me something similar to this. Other folks have brought this up, so I want to be open to at least this train of thought. And I just want to say that I think there is some hubris. I always call it privilege, because I think Nintendo is privileged. But I do think there's some from them. Here's the thing. Mario Golf, Animal Crossing, this Switch model, none of this is out of the line for Nintendo. Nintendo is acting exactly like Nintendo has acted. So that's the thing with this, is I don't think the people are like, oh man, they're just resting on their laurels up there. It's like, this is what they always do. Like, this is how Nintendo operates. And I do think that they operate differently is the best way of saying it. As CJ already said, they don't operate under the same conditions and expectations that Sony and Microsoft do. And for whatever reason, it kills people to acknowledge that. Like, they just won't. Nope. These are all three. They're all fighting for the same buyer and they have to compete. Like, it just kills them that Nintendo doesn't. It kills them that they release a port of a game that they released 5 years ago with very little to it. And it kills them even more when that port sells 13 million copies, more than any of their first party darlings ever did. They operate differently. It's the power of Nintendo. It's the house of Mario. They just have it like that. They're just Nintendo. That's the power when you have giant national brands that can do that. It just is. I don't even like saying that, right? Because if you don't like Nintendo, you're going to hate hearing that answer. You're like, oh, stupid Nintendo fan with a stupid Nintendo. I get it. But it is the answer. I'm just trying to give the truth because that is the truth. Mario sells. It's a national home brand. Everybody knows Mario. It's like Mickey Mouse. There is no other place. There's no other equivalent. There is no PlayStation Mario. There is no Xbox Mario. There are none. So that's the way they act. That's why they act that way. I think if you go back in that Nintendo documentary, you remember that documentary I was bringing up? There were tons of examples when they were acting like that way during Genesis. And when the Wii was selling a bajillion copies, they were acting the same way during the Wii. And when the DS was on the top of the world, they were doing, this is just what they do. This is what they do.
Yeah.
I think just building on top of this, with like just the Mario Golf and tennis to the Animal Crossing, and to the various games that they kind of like perceive in this question, I don't think developers over at Nintendo in their head and saying, oh, we're just going to go to this bar and be good. Yeah. We're going to just chill out. Let's half-ass this one,
guys.
Exactly.
Yeah, they don't say that. That's not.
They have limited resources and they go to work every day. It's not like they want to do more. They always want to do more. I'm sure they want to put more stuff in Animal Crossing. I'm sure they want to add online functionality to Mario Golf to make it better. Maybe. But they have a priority list. And they're just trying to chop off what's best for them and what fits for them, for that company to be successful, to keep on going the next day. So, no, I don't think this is a arrogant Nintendo or Sony at all.
Agreed.
Yeah. It's hard. And
I agree.
That success story.
I think when Nintendo tries to do the same thing as Sony or Microsoft, it never works out for them. Like when the Wii U launched and we had Mass Effect and Batman, like that didn't work for them. Like it just didn't. So they have to sort of zag when everybody else is zigging. And it's kind of also working for Microsoft. Like Microsoft is doing something different than that traditional video game model as well. And it's sort of working out for them too. Like you don't have to necessarily copy the leader to carve out your own market niche.
Spot on. I was going to say with the success the Switch has, I mean, leave it to everybody else to throw stones. You know, it's like they've been the top selling. We told it the other, it was like 50, 60, whatever crazy amount of straight months consoles sold. Like, I'm pretty sure they're happy. Like, they're not upset with Animal Crossing and its 33 million sales. And they probably think they delivered a great Animal Crossing game. You know, and I'm sure they will make an expansion. I'm sure it will happen. You know why? Because they did on 3DS. Yep. Like, it may not be as fast as you want it, but it'll come. They'll do something. Yeah. They did something to Mario Party. Like, when they see those numbers, they're going to put time and effort into it. Give them time. Yep. That's going to do it for us this week here in the Nintendo Shack. I'd like once again to thank our special guest, CJ, for coming over for Player One Podcast. Why don't you go ahead and plug your wares and let everyone know where they can follow you?
Thank you so much, Donnie. I'm on Twitter. My hacker alias is SuperPack. That's SuperPac. And I host the Player One Podcast every week with my friends Greg and Phil. And you can find that at PlayerOnePodcast.com. And I also run a Twitter account to highlight a video game podcast. That's Second Player Net on Twitter.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us. On behalf of Garrett and Rebecca, we're out. Catch you next week. Hope you buy the OLED model. See you later. Good night.
Cooplings. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.